Welcome to Automate IT Tech Talk, coming to you remotely from 4x4 Brewing Company in beautiful Ozark, Missouri, where we're serving up more than just craft beers and good times. Today's episode is all about sustainability through energy management, and we've got the perfect pairing. Good drinks, real talk, and two industry pros who've lived this transformation on the plant floor. I'm your host, Travis Seltzer, and I'm joined by Dallas Horde and Dawson Schaefer as we break down how industrial facilities can unlock rebates, install smart tech, and make energy data work for them. Whether you're just starting your energy journey or already knee-deep in data, this episode will give you clear, practical steps to cut costs, boost visibility, and build a smarter, more sustainable operation. So grab your favorite pint and let's get into it.
Hey, Dallas. Man, it's great to be here. We're sitting in 4x4. We got Dawson Schaefer on the line with us. And what do you think? It's our first remote podcast, right?
Yes.
So this is pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So what do you think?
I mean, look at this. Look at our background here.
I'm a little bit jealous of you because you have like all the tanks behind you and all the packaging lines and all the mixing going on. And then I've got a bar and maybe some holding tanks behind me. So I'm a little bit jealous.
Man,
I am definitely getting the short end of the stick.
Well, Dawson, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, hi, guys. So my name is Dawson Schaefer. I'm the industrial control specialist for SMC Electric out of Joplin, Missouri. Some high points about me is I've been working for SMC for a little under 3 years now. Before then, I was at Pitt State for my electrical engineering degree. And then while I was there, I worked for Camo Power out of Vinita, Oklahoma, as one of their substation relay engineers. And so my background's especially in a lot of the power monitoring, power quality, as well as transmission substation stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. So you've got a vast knowledge and lots of background. So when we were doing our big push with the internet and everything with Camo Power, were you part of that? Or was that part of Camo Power or was that somebody else?
That was just after my timeline there. I stuck more on the operations side when it came to actually in substations designing. And so when it came to more of like the internet or IT side, that was a little out of my realm. But I think that was just right after my time there.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining Dallas and I today. And we're going to be talking about, different energy topics that are hot right now within all of our with all of our spheres. Right. So I'm just going to go ahead and hop right in and kind of kick things off. And one of the things that we're just going to hit it while it's hot. One of the things that's most overlooked as a part of the energy puzzle right now is all the tremendous amount of rebates that are out there. So before you spend a dollar out of pocket, there may be more money waiting for you, right, guys?
Right. I think that as we go through this, we really want to take the listeners on this journey of what it's like to become more energy efficient in your facilities. And, one of the things that I'm so excited about having Dawson on here is he comes with a lot of new ideas and a lot of new technologies that he's learned, in school and throughout his time in the industry. And so we're really excited to have Dawson on here. But as you mentioned, Travis, there's a lot of ways that facilities can start to see a really good return on investment that's readily available to them. And that's within rebates. And we have discussions with facilities every day, and they're on this progression of becoming more energy efficient. And one of the first things that we ask them is, have you looked into what rebates are eligible for your project that you're talking about? Whether it's VFDs or it's LED lighting or it's solar lighting or it's HVAC, a lot of facilities don't understand that they're utility providers are offering rebates in these areas. And so, Dawson, have you worked with any facilities in this area or worked them through this progression of understanding, hey, what in this project is eligible for rebate?
Oh man, this is such a good talking point on this. So most plants do not realize they are eligible for any sort of rebates or don't even know what a rebate is. So just off the gate, off topic, what a rebate is a recoup on expenses for some sort of sustainability project or some sort of way to peak shave off some applications. So, I mean, rebates are often buried in paperwork or websites. Normally it's from either your utility provider or it's going to be from your local or federal government. And so most of the time these are kind of hidden on some commercial pages and not so much on like the big landing pages. So I'll say on a couple things, projects like VFDs, LED lightings, energy efficient motors, with these rebates, they often pay for themselves in months. So like VFD retrofits, for examples, normally those from going on to like a direct online starter to a VFD or something like a soft start, that's within like a 30 to 60% kilowatt hour savings on oversized fans and pumps. And with that, I want to say it's at 35%. You can receive a return on investment within 12 months of after installation.
Man, that is fantastic. So when you're talking about finding these rebates, where would you say that is the best place for these plant managers, these operation managers to find these rebates? Where do you look them up?
Dial that number on the bill. So especially for industries, normally those are going to be a little different than what you see on your home side, but there's a number on that bill that will be able to ask for any, you know, or trigger any like no cost walkthrough or someone that can help you handle the paperwork. That or just Google your local provider, put in that you're an industry, and normally there is a email or some help desk ticket that you can stick in and find the correct ones that apply for you or which ones are even available. Right. As well as I would say lean on your vendors. A good vendor that knows your business should know what rebates or at least know where to look for what rebates should apply to you.
Yep, absolutely. Awesome. I think, you know, just building on what you're saying, I recently called the number on a bill recently for a facility, and I was surprised to see that a consulting firm had been hired by that utilities provider to help facilities navigate different energy efficiency programs, you know, whether it's gas, water, electricity. There's all kinds of programs out there that are used for manufacturing facilities. And a lot of times these utility providers are employing these consulting companies to walk a manufacturing facility through that. So just for the listeners out there, don't be surprised if you get directed to a third party company. Normally they're hired by that utilities provider because they don't have the manpower necessary to walk you through that.
Absolutely. And one thing to keep in mind, utility companies are incentivized to help you succeed. You know, this is free money with a strategic ROI for them. So, you know, it's not like they're advertising it. They're putting it out there. They want these monies taken because it helps the consumer stay online longer and pay.
Well, and there's a reason that they want to offer rebates as well, because if they can lower peak demand, let's think about it. These utility providers, they have an insane amount of power that is being requested at any given time. And, you know, it's even been mentioned in local news by our president that we are short on energy right now. And so these energy providers, they want to make sure that they can lower that peak demand so they don't have to build out additional infrastructure, additional power plants. They want all of these facilities to be energy efficient so that they don't have to continue to add more power plants. And so they're going to help you through this process and figure out which rebates, you know, that you can achieve within your project so that they don't have to continue to provide you with additional power.
Absolutely. And it's, once again, it's all about everybody succeeding, right? And so once you've captured this low-hanging fruit, captured these quick wins, I would say the next step is visibility, right? So if you can't manage what you can't measure, how do these facilities start tracking their actual usage?
That's a great question. First things first, it's going to have to be that big five. It's going to be electricity, compressed air, natural gas, steam, and water. And so what I would recommend is probably starting off with some sort of pilot zone, somewhere where it's like a one line or a one department in order to prove your value or prove what data you're trying to get. It also stops all your data overloads. So rather than having 12 lines and 40,000 tags all trying to get funneled into some sort of silo at once, start with a single provable option that you can use your rebates for to get a quick ROI, and then just push that data through on just a single port.
Yeah, so what you're saying, Dawson, is let's get some hardware in the facility where we can start actually tracking usage. Like you said, whether it's water, air, gas, electricity, steam, we need to start being able to collect data that tells us exactly how much energy that we're consuming.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be crazy. I would say at least just one revenue grade meter on, let's say, like incoming power to understand what that machine is doing rather than what the entire plant is doing.
Exactly. And if you think about it, a lot of facilities are reliant on what the utilities company is saying. We provided you this amount of power over the course of the month. And there's no way that they can come back and say, we don't feel like we necessarily got that much electricity, or, hey, we feel like we had a lot of power outages or a lot of spikes in our electric current that took a lot of our processes down or a lot of our lines down. But whenever you have that kind of hardware that is monitoring all the electricity coming into the facility, you can be able to go back to them and say, hey, we had a problem here. Actually, we're having a lot of spikes, or we're having a lot of drops in power here that's affecting what we're doing here in our line. And I think that that's really important, and it's a really good foundation to start with, is to making sure that we have the hardware, whether it's, like we said, air, water, gas, steam. It might not even be electricity that we're concerned with. Maybe it's air. I walk through facilities all the time that are using a ton of compressed air for their processes. And so if you start to think about it, I read a statistic the other day that said it takes about 8 horsepower from a compressor to generate 1 horsepower of compressed gas. That means if we're losing air in multiple parts of our facility, we're spending a lot more electricity than we really need to. And so, I think, 100%. Dawson, you know, just to expand on what you said, the hardware part of it really is a foundation of understanding how much we're using.
Oh, no. A single quarter-inch leak at 100 PSI, that can blow up to about $30,000 a year. And that's a single loss, a single point of leak.
Oof. Yeah. Yikes. I mean, hey, if they're just hanging 30 grand on the tree, I'll come pick it off if they like
it. Yeah. It's just shooting nickels out every second, shooting nickels.
Absolutely. So, you know, along those same lines, guys, Dallas, you had a great example there. Dawson, you know, what's one surprising thing that you've seen at a plant discovery once they've installed monitoring?
Oh, man, I've seen tons. I mean, even just yesterday, we were out and we're looking, they wanted to see bad peak times that weren't, you know, at noon or some random, they wanted to see where random peaks were throughout the day in order to see if they could lower the amount of energy peaks they were using. So it was actually, about 4:30. It was right on a shift change. They realized that they were getting a massive peak spike out of a certain department. Now this company has a large floor space and they need electric, golf carts in order to travel around. Well, it just so happened that at 4:30, that's when all of the first shift went over to second shift and they plugged in their golf carts to make sure the batteries were charged up. They plugged in every single one of them at the same time, end up charging them over 15 grand a month just to plug in golf carts.
That is nuts, man. I mean, and just from plugging in just a simple device. You find that out immediately,
yes.
Right? So that's
and you wouldn't know that unless you have that visibility per machine or per sector or per division. They wouldn't have known that these golf carts are the reason that they're getting charged an extra 15 grand a month.
And yeah, you talk about peak demand charges. It's not like just a one-day charge that you're going to be charged for that. That's the rest of the month. Depending on your contract, it might be for the rest of the quarter that you're going to be charged that simply because of one process that's generating a lot of electricity, or maybe it's multiple processes that you're starting at the same exact time, or multiple machines or lines that you're starting at the same time that are creating this much higher fee that you're paying for the rest of the month.
Well, and you get the bill at the end of the month. That's the thing. And so let's say if you did have this problem, you wouldn't know it until this 15 grand started occurring on itself.
Right.
Where if you get that access to the data when you want it, you can easily make a decision and change before you pay the long-term benefits or long-term reapings.
Right. Well, and even the bill, it's just going to tell you that you had peak demand charges at this rate. It's not going to tell you where in the facility that you were starting to generate those charges. So I love this foundation. It's at the very core of becoming energy efficient, is understanding where are we consuming energy and why. And that probably leads us into the next point, you know, in talking about, well, how do we start collecting this information?
Right. Now that we're collecting that data from all the flow from the hardware, how do we make sure it's connected and useful? Is it being siloed? Is it being useful? How what are we doing with it, guys?
Yeah, I think Dawson, you'll have a really good insight into this, because you really have a couple options here. You have the hardware now that is starting to collect data on how much energy we're consuming, whether it's meters that are measuring air, water, gas, and steam, or you have power monitors that are measuring incoming electricity. What do you do at that point? Do you send somebody around the facility that is going to write on a piece of paper, hey, here's the meter reading at this point, you know, here's how many PSI is passing through this meter, or here's how many kilowatts that we, you know, consumed during this. Are there better ways of doing it?
Yeah, oh, there's much better right? ways.
Yeah,
well, in some plants, you walk in, you might start seeing some post-it notes. It's like, oh yeah, this was steam at this level, steam at that level.
And now, don't bag on the post-it notes, but go ahead. Sorry.
So no, right now we're still on the OT side. So we're still managing our alarm meters. We're getting all the tags in. How do we put this into some sort of silo? And that's when we need to create pretty much a unified OT backbone. And so we need to bring in industrial Ethernet, bring in meters, PLCs, SCADA, put it all into one namespace. And then break these down into silos for, you know, energy, maintenance, production historians, and then have these all on a single network to where we can timestamp when stuff happens. So we know, okay, when someone throws this limit switch or when someone has this much pressure in the tank, what is happening with the rest of our system at this time?
Right.
And then tag for the analytics. So consistent naming. Let's say, you know, it's like line one packaging kilowatt hours or steam pressure at this certain time. This can accelerate pretty much all of our AI and machine learning that's going to be starting developing here in the next 5 to 10 years in order to start condition monitoring for projects later.
Right. So if we have an OT network, then rather than sending somebody around to plug their laptop into the PLC or into, you know, that area that's collecting the data, we can automatically start capturing that data through our OT network and sending it to a server, which then, you know, maybe it's going into a historian, a SQL Server database, or maybe it's a piece of software. But we are automating that process that can be a very cumbersome without an OT network.
Yeah, well, yeah. Sure. The analysis on that is terrible. I mean, so like without connectivity, like let's say you're pulling like Excel files or CSV files, that just kills momentum and introduces a lot of version errors, because at that point, oh, you want to revise what data we're pulling from this point or that point. And so by the time you're trying to build a case study on exactly what's happening with the machine, you're already 3 revisions in, and we have to continually improve or continually readjust on how we look at it.
All right. So at that point, guys, when you're talking about OT network, how are you planning that scalability?
Yeah, I think that it's important that whenever you're thinking about or planning your OT network, that you're really thinking about where do we want to be, where is our end goal? Not just say, how do we network this machine or this line or this process, but in the end goal, what are we wanting to achieve? Are we only going to be collecting data on energy consumption, or do we want to start collecting data on production and start bringing in more data? You know, as we talked about, I think it was probably two or three podcasts ago, we talked about AI and how AI is so much better when you have multiple data points that you're looking at. You know, as many data points as you possibly can. You know, the same thing comes true whenever you're looking at your OT network. You want to be pulling data on processes, production, energy consumption, you know, engineering data, IT data, as much as we possibly can. So you have to be very smart and strategic about what is our end goal, and what are we trying to achieve?
Exactly. The ends definitely justify where we want to start, what kind of OT. And then it also adjusts for scalability. So I'll definitely say leave some IP addresses open or some switch ports to where you can grow in the future when we want to add more scalability for it.
For sure. So at this point, guys, we've got the hardware installed. We've got the data connected. You know, but raw numbers don't help you unless you can understand them, right? So this is where the right software will make or break the process. So what's the role of software making all this data actually usable for plant management, accounting, procurement, so on and so forth?
Visualization. That is probably the key word for what software needs to be, is visualization. Dashboards can convert thousands of points into a 10-second story. And then with that, you get the analytics and KPIs that can auto-calculate cost per unit or kilowatt hour per shift, or where you can spotlight improvement areas and then celebrate those improvement areas. Because instead of having to dig through all your CVS files, you can see, oh, we improved by adjusting our LED lights or by slowing speeds at certain hours. We saved so many kilowatt hours, and then celebrate that.
Yeah, agreed 100%. Whenever you have a software that is able to take all of your inputs and put them into this cumulative dashboard, or this taking your data from being siloed from all these different sources into one area, it provides so much context around what your facility is actually consuming. You know, where you can take, you can understand, hey, here's how much energy we're consuming from the facility level to the department level, and then all the way down to a specific line, how much energy are we consuming in that area. And that's where you really start to drive a lot of decision making, is understanding where we're consuming too much energy, or you might even start to figure out that there's a line or a machine that's being shut off during second and third that for whatever reason is consuming a ton of power, a ton of electricity that you never knew about. And so the software is going to be able to contextualize all this data that you have that gives real meaning to what you're looking at. So it's very important.
So here's your hotspot, Dallas. Looking across from you, seeing all this awesome stuff behind us. This is a great question with all this behind us, right? How do you know if you have the right software for your facility?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And if I were to think about what gives me the best opportunity to make real decisions that are going to have an impact on our business, I would want a software that has the ability to include my energy consumption and my production metrics and everything that is going out on the plant floor. So that way I can start to overlay, you know, hey, I had an energy spike here, or that affected my production here, or this energy spike, or this electricity drop shut my machine down. That way I can have true contextualization as to what happened during that time. So it's not like we just want a software that's just collecting data on our energy usage. We want a software that pulls everything in together into a cohesive environment that we can make sense of everything that was happening around that scenario.
The word cohesive. I like the word cohesive. And I would say, at least for my standing on using it, user adoption. Operators and finance folks want to open it daily. If they avoid it, then something's definitely wrong.
Agreed. But even think about when it comes to software, we've seen it a million times. There are certain pieces of software that do things really well, and then you have to build these engineered connections to integrate information from one piece of software into the next. There is software out there that already has pre-built connections to pull data from your historians and your SQL Server databases and your Excel spreadsheets and your hardware out on the plant floor and your MES and your ERP. There's a lot of really good stuff out there that you don't have to worry about a connection breaking because somebody updated their software or a vendor decided to make a change to their programming. So there's a lot of things to think about when it comes to selecting the right software, but there's some pretty good pieces of software out there that do what you need. And you just really have to think about what our end goal is to make sure that we're selecting the right software.
For sure. So, all right, guys. So everything we're talking about at this point, just walking down the path, walking and painting that picture, we're becoming a step closer to that high visibility facility, right? So once you have that software in place, then that's when things really start opening up. That's when you get all this data and you're just getting overloaded, right? You're getting an avalanche of data that you've never had before. So once again, let's paint a picture of what a facility like this around us, okay, looks like when all of this is working together, the real payoff. In other words, what does a truly energy aware facility look like in practice?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what we talk about a lot, Travis, and that's like real-time visibility. We talk about it across every department within a manufacturing facility, but the real-time visibility to understand where you have issues, where you're consuming power, you know, where you're maybe, you might find that you have a lot of air leakage in an area of your facility, or that this specific line is consuming way more energy than what you talked about. The real-time visibility enables you to make adjustments. You know, like what we were talking about earlier, having a software like this, having the hardware, the OT network, all of this put together gives you the visibility to see exactly what Dawson was talking about earlier. We know that when first shift comes in, every single one of our manufacturing lines are being turned on at the same time. And because of that, we're getting peak demand charges that really aren't that necessary. So maybe that we start to spread those out over those start times out over 15 minutes each. Or maybe we find that, like we mentioned earlier, that one specific manufacturing line is draining energy over the course of a week when it's shut down. Well, why don't we just shut that down? And so the real-time visibility, it's not like the software is going to do this for you. It's not going to automatically adjust your power or your energy consumption, but it's going to give you the data that you need to make those changes systematically. So that whether it's, you know, corporate sustainability initiatives around air, water, steam, gas, or even carbon initiatives, you know, zero carbon, you can start to make adjustments in your facility that actually have an impact on those initiatives.
There is a massive benefit into having energy woven into your OEE, where operators can track your kilowatt hours per good alongside your speed and quality. And I agree with you, Dallas. It's good to have what I call a wallboard culture, where it's live dashboards that hang in, you know, your control rooms, break rooms, or, you know, executive offices alike. And being able to have those data-driven decisions, like you're starting up in 15 minutes rather than all at once, or maintain different shift schedules and sorts.
Absolutely, 100% agreed.
And you don't know where to go if you don't know where you've been. And
exactly.
You've got to have your baseline. You've got to be able to know, and to be able to see the future, you've got to be able to know your past. You know, all the analogies, right? All in one. So, so what we're talking about here again is that true visibility. So, you know, you guys have already mentioned a ton of the impacts that you see visibility make on actual business outcomes. Of course, the bottom line is what we're talking about at all times, right? So that energy accountability, it helps you meet those ESG goals. It's going to help you avoid those demand spikes, so on and so forth. So, you know, if we were to, you know, kind of put a bow on this, right? we've talked about a lot of high level stuff immediately, right? So that's really everything in a full journey is what you guys have been describing to me. So the key is knowing where to start. So give me some practical advice, okay? Grassroots practical advice that plant managers and other decision makers who are ready to take that first step, what do they need to know? What's one thing a plant manager listening to this could do right now to begin this journey?
Call the utility rep and ask them, what efficiency money am I leaving on the table? That's the first place I would start in order to make sure that if you are starting a pilot program for a single line, see what money am I leaving on the table, and then just pick one blind spot, whether it's a steam header or a compressor bank or a single line, stick a meter on it for 30 days and understand that machine in and out, and then add energy probably to the daily shifts and daily shift huddles. So for 5 minutes, have your operation side understand what the goal is for the kilowatt hours or for what we want part per energy usage, and make that more of a energy focused group.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think the start small is a really good way to go, because like we talk about with any digital transformation initiative, it's a journey. And it's not going to happen over a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months. This is an investment that facilities have to make, which does has a justifiable ROI. And you can work through that and try to figure out, you know, where's our ROI come in at. But I mean, you could start as simple as putting a power monitor on all the incoming power into the facility and understanding different power spikes or drops in voltage or, you know, how much power are we actually taking in the facility, and start comparing that against utility bills that you're getting from your company. So, you know, whether it's reaching out and understanding what energy plans that your utility qualifies for or what rebates, like what Dawson said, but just start small. Don't feel like you have to go all in and put a power monitor and flow meters on every single process or every single line in your facility. Just be strategic about it and partner with somebody that has been through this, has walked facilities through this, and that you can trust is going to take you on this journey that is aligned with what your end goals are.
And that will celebrate with you whenever you guys do inevitably win.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the things we're talking about right there, guys, real simple, land and expand, right? We talk about that a lot within our business. Is, guys, we're not asking you to have a huge budget to get started, right, Dallas? Everything you guys were just saying. Many steps pay for themselves fast. So don't think you got to come in guns blazing. If you want to, hey, we're capable. But let us show you, and not trying to be salesy here, I just get passionate about this. Whatever you do, the communication is where it starts first. So come in and we're just going to talk about it and see what needs to happen first. And we're going to help you grab that low hanging fruit from the beginning. So once again, not trying to get too salesy, guys, I appreciate it. So Dawson, I'll throw it over to you first. Is there anything else you'd like to throw in there on our topic today?
Man, this has been a great conversation, an important conversation. And I think overall, efficiency isn't just a one and done project. It's a journey. It's a culture. So start small, measure relentlessly, and let the data fund the journey.
Absolutely. Dallas, what's your two cents, homie?
No, I think that what we've talked about has been good so far. We want to be a part of it. If you are on this journey to becoming more energy efficient or aligning with sustainability initiatives from corporate, then we would love to help you strategize and figure out what the steps are. You know, the reality is that when it comes to energy efficiency, there are so many disciplines that need to be strategized on and thought out. And there are probably multiple partners that you're going to need to work with, you know, from contractors, you know, to hardware suppliers, to actual implementation of the hardware and software. And that's where I feel like we really shine, is because we have this beautiful network built of teams that are capable and ready to guide facilities through this, these initiatives. And so think of us, but again, don't get too overwhelmed with all the options. Start small, you know, hardware, OT network, software, and then you'll be good from there.
Absolutely. So guys, once again, Dawson, Dallas, thank you for joining us today. Dawson, thank you so much for joining us today. It's, I know it's been a little bit of technology barriers today, but that's what happens. Hey, once again, thank you to 4x4 Brewing for having us out to their beautiful facility. It's been outstanding. They're starting to get busy.
Yeah, they are. I can hear it getting loud over my shoulder right now. I don't even want to look behind me right now.
Well, you might see me there soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next time, you're in-house, man. You're in-house.
Yes, so, sir.
So once again, folks, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to tune in. As always, if you have any questions, comments, please hit us at automateit.net, or you can give us a call on our toll-free number as well. You can email Dallas, and that's at dhord@automateit.net as well. For any questions, concerns, musings, reviews, hell, you can just go ahead and email him and give him grief too. It's fine.
Yeah. So I'm sure that you're probably going to mention this in other parts of the podcast, whether it be the opening or the ending, but we do have some upcoming in-person events in Warrensburg, Missouri, and in, it's a downstream
Joplin
casino.
Yeah.
Well, in the Joplin area. Yep. And we're going to be expanding a little bit more on this talk. And we're going to be having some industry experts talk about some hardware and talk about OT networks. And we are going to even see some demos of this software in action and what it looks like for a facility. So if you are a manufacturing executive, you're a department leader in a facility, if you're a corporate executive that is aligned with sustainability initiatives, we would love to have you there at this event. It's going to be a really good time. We have some really good locations picked out. And so that's the shameless plug that I need to throw in there.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. So that Warrensburg location is going to be at Phantom 5 Distributing on May 13th of 2025, in case you're watching this as it's older. And then on May 15th, we'll be having that get together at Downstream Casino in the Sacred Elk Room. And both those are from 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Hors d'oeuvres, cocktails, and great conversation. So be sure to hit us up if you'd like to join us. We'd love to have you there. So as we wrap up, guys, we're just talking about everything today. Man, once again, thank you so much. Thank you to 4x4. Thank you to you guys once again for the final time. And as always, folks, automate smarter, execute faster, and lead the future. Thank you and have a great day.
That wraps up our conversation here at 4x4 Brewing Company in Ozark, Missouri, where we've been talking all things energy management, efficiency, and sustainability. Huge thanks to Dallas Hord and Dawson Schaefer for sharing their real-world insights, and to our listeners for joining us on this journey to a smarter, leaner plant floor. If today's episode sparked an idea or gave you a starting point, don't let it stop here. Take one small step this week towards visibility and savings in your facility. Need help getting there? Give us a call, text, or email by going to automateit.net and going to the Contact Us page to reach out. And don't forget to smash that subscribe button wherever you are watching or listening to this podcast. As always, sharing is caring, folks. If you like this content, please share it. We are on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Until next time, I'm Travis Seltzer, and this has been Automate IT Tech Talk, where today we toasted to tech that works smarter.